Unfortunately, the account breaks off in the 8th book in around 411, 410 BC, and the rest of the war has to be gained from later accounts from the historian Xenophon, a lesser historian of a generation later, the author Diodorus Siculus writing in the 1st century BC, and above all from the Roman age, Plutarch, who penned a series of delightful biographies of many of the principals in the war. They're not up to the same standard of Thucydides, but nonetheless, we have still a very good record. Thucydides, therefore, is one of the reasons for studying the war, as well as the importance and implications of the war itself. In some ways, it could be argued that Thucydides, being a participant, in many ways brings something of a contemporary's view to events. And I mean that Thucydides gives us the war as we have defined it ever since. It stretched over 27 years. To the Greeks, that would be essentially two generations of males eligible for military service. And Thucydides tells us at the very start that this war comes in three phases. The first is the 10-year struggle known as the Archidamian War, ironically named after the Spartan king Archidamus, who spoke against the war and warned his countrymen that this would be a war like no other, and that it would be a war that would be passed on to their children. And he was proved right. And ironically, his name gets to designate those first 10 years of fighting. That war ended in 421 BC with a treaty, a peace treaty, a 50-year treaty concluded between Athens and Sparta that supposedly settled outstanding questions and really failed to do so. And Thucydides, who was in Sparta at the time, in my opinion, and saw the swearing of the oaths to that treaty, knew from the start it was flawed. The treaty broke down within the first year. It was not accepted by the various participants, the allied participants of Sparta, that is the members of the Peloponnesian League. And Thucydides tells us that for the next 7 years, from 421 to 414 BC, the peace was only a peace in name. And that Athens and Sparta were maneuvering to renew the struggle, often fighting through proxies. And this is the period when Alcibiades comes into prominence and a new generation of Athenians and Spartans are confronted with the renewal of the war. The final phase is the last 10 years, known as the Ionian or the Decalean War. Ionia refers to the western shores of Turkey today, which was settled by various Greeks known as Ionians. That is, it was a naval war fought in the Aegean. Decalea refers to a fortress in Attica, that is the district of Athens, which the Spartans fortified and used as a base for besieging Athens in the last 10 years. So either term is used for that third phase. And that war lasts from 414 to 404 BC, and unfortunately, Thucydides' account does not finish. We know he lived to the end of the war. In Book 5 particularly, he tells us he saw Athens defeated, and he saw the Athenians march out and tear down their walls to the sound of flutes and under the stern gaze of Spartan soldiers. So he did live until 404 BC or later. It's just he never got to complete his history. And so he has this perspective of this great struggle of 27 years. In some ways, one could argue that's a bit artificial. It's Thucydides writing about contemporary history, what he himself saw. And one could argue that the Peloponnesian War, as conceived by Thucydides, is really part of a series of struggles between Athens and Sparta that start in 461 or 460 BC and go down to 375 BC, in which Athens and Sparta clash repeatedly for the hegemony of Greece. The term in Greek, hegemon, means a leader, that is a leading city-state bound by a series of alliances to lesser states that essentially directs the destinies, the political destinies of the Greek world. And in effect, Athens and Sparta struggled for a mastery of Greece, which some historians and political scientists have often compared to the struggle for the mastery of Europe from 1870 to 1945. That would be inspired by that really fine work by A.G.P. Taylor, The Struggle for the Mastery of Europe, in which he looks at especially the period from the Franco-Prussian War through the First World War and beyond. So in that sense, Thucydides' history is a piece of contemporary history. Nonetheless, it stands up very well. We get information about the Athenians and Spartans that are invaluable for understanding this whole period, including the period after Thucydides' death. Furthermore, this vision of the war and the struggle between Athens and Sparta has been transmitted to later authors in the West and has been studied with considerable interest by scholars and popular writers, by people today who are involved in mass media and political policy, certainly officers in the American military academies, both at Annapolis and West Point. Thucydides is one of the staples. And that is, there's a good reason for that. And I trace it back to the 19th century when a Victorian MP, that is a member of parliament and gentleman and a lawyer by the name of George Grote, wrote his 8-volume work on the history of Greece that appeared in 1856 and is entitled The History of Greece from the Earliest Period to the Close of the Generation Contemporary with Alexander the Great. It's a long-winded title. It's reappeared in 1874 after his death in an expanded version, and it's extremely well-written. In fact, Grote was a master of English prose and a product of the English public school system in which Thucydides as well as classical authors were studied. And his knowledge of the ancient text is excellent, probably better than most modern scholars because myself included, because they were trained in their Latin and Greek from a very young age.